All right, welcome in on a Monday. This is the 7th edition. Today is November 4th. Nate, how are we feeling? Bryson Bechtel Baseball Breakdown Show number 7.
We're feeling pretty good. Honestly, sitting there listening to Immortals to open the show, could have gone vibing with that for another 2 minutes. I felt like me and you, we were sort of relaxing, and then, you know, we had to come in.
Yeah, I really liked it. One team that's not really Immortals at the moment are the Houston Astros, who we saw, you know, they're beatable. Like NA Volleyball, they're beatable. We saw, let's talk World Series. Nats get their first World Series win. Pretty crazy.
And
game, atmosphere, everything. First
and
World Series.
And in unreal fashion, too, just how the series went down and then how the game went, Game 7 went down.
Yeah, first World Series in D.C. since 1924. The Washington Senators with Walter Johnson pitching. Name right there that many baseball fans know is just a legend in the game, but that just tells you, you know, almost 100 years ago, the last time a D.C. team has won the World Series.
That's crazy. It feels like D.C.'s on that wave. You know how, like, a few years ago, it was like Cleveland, how they won a few championships, or, like, were on the rise. They had the Indians in the World Series, and then, you know, the Cavaliers won, and then Pittsburgh sort of went through it back in, like, 2009 where the Steelers won, Penguins won. D.C.'s on that wave. The Caps won. Now the Nationals won. The District of Champions, as they're being hailed down there.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, but I don't know. But it's good for the Nationals to get a World Series win over the Astros, a team that no one thought, you know, was going to lose. They looked like the Goliath coming in here. They looked like they were just going to run away. But the Nationals continue to be the underdog and sort of fulfill that that name and just beat the Astros in 7.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy series, pretty crazy game. First time in any sport, baseball, basketball, football. Well, obviously it can't happen in football, but, you know, the NHL, NBA, MLB, that the road team wins every single game.
It's just mind-boggling, to be honest. Like, how does it happen? I talked about it the past couple of shows. Do nerves come into play when you're at home? You know, being in front of your home fans, does that come into play? And then when a visiting team, you know, takes the air out of the stadium and doesn't let the fans, you know, do what they typically do, does that help the road team?
I just find it very unusual, and obviously since it's the first time that this has happened, it is unusual. I think nerves do play a part of it. But I also think, how do you not win a game at home? Especially Houston with 2 home games to close out the series. How do you not win a game at home? It's just...
It's crazy. It's the best thing about sports. Just some of that stuff, you can't script it.
No.
You just can't. It's nonfiction. It's real. It's right in front of your face. You know, it happens in real time. Stuff like that is crazy. That's why those are the best stories. Sports have the best stories compared to, like, movies and, you know, fiction. But sports are real, you know, the craziest things can happen, and the Nationals, or this series just in general, was just unreal. You know, you had good pitching on both sides of both teams, and then, you know, going into, you know, the home ballparks for the visiting teams, just coming away with a win in every single game. It's just crazy to think about.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. It's pretty crazy, pretty interesting, but I mean, let's get into it. Let's get into the World Series. Let's break down what happened last couple games since we've been on. We had Game 6. We had Game 7. Nate, what were your thoughts just in Game 6 and Game 7 with the Nationals? You know, the games were pretty close to begin. Game 6, Washington jumps out to an early 1-0 lead on an Anthony Rendon single, scoring Trey Turner. But then in the bottom of the inning, Astros come right back. Jose Altuve, sacrifice fly. Alex Bregman, home run. The Astros looked like, okay, you know, they might have a chance to run away with it, you know, get their early lead. But then, top of the 5th, Adam Eaton homers. Juan Soto homers. Go to the 7th, Rendon homers. It's a 2-run. You look at it and you just say the Nats just constantly found a way in the later innings to take control of the game, and the Houston Astros had no chance after that. Look at Game 7. Houston was up 2-0 going into the 7th inning with Zach Greinke absolutely dealing. He was rolling, one hit through 6. Gives up a solo home run to Rendon with one out in the 7th. They decide to pull him.
The best teams, the best teams in sports are the ones that can stick around in games. Even when they're trailing, they still have a chance. And the Nationals have proven that no matter what the score was, what the circumstance was, they had the ability to come back. And I honestly, I thought it was the Astros that was going to be that team throughout the postseason where if they were down, they're one of the scariest teams in the league that they can come back in an instant, the snap of a finger. But it was the Nationals here, and I think, you know, again, there was that momentum factor that I feel like there was just something about this team. Just overall, there was something about it. They had the spark. They had what it was going to take to, you know, be World Series champions. And the biggest thing is, I think, in Game 6, whenever that call was made when Adam Eaton was running down the baseline and that throw down, was that Adam Eaton, correct?
Yeah.
Running down the baseline and he hit the glove or whatever and
they said he was out of the baseline. He was not in between the lines where he should have been, which that's a type of play, you know, that gets called all the time. Runners do that constantly.
Exactly. I mean, where else are you going to run? He was running straight down the base path. Where else are you going to run? It's just
they
and
want
and
you
also,
to run out. They want also, you to run outside. And some MLB players were making a joke of it. Why don't you put a separate bag on the side like softball?
Exactly. Like, come on, that's ridiculous. And then the game went under. The Nationals were challenging the game.
Yeah, game went under protest. Which games that go under protest? I mean, it's just nothing. It's just basically a commodity.
But
that
I feel
you
like
don't see often.
I feel like once Dave Martinez got thrown out, I feel like his team sort of rallied around him. And, you know, they were able to just close out this game and win this game and force that Game 7, in which, again, they were down but never out. And thanks to one guy who's been, you know, Mr. Save the Day for a lot this postseason, Howie Kendrick, once again, been unbelievable for this team, a two-run homer for them, putting them ahead 3-2 in Game 7.
Yeah, so after A.J. Hinch decided to pull Greinke in the seventh, he put Will Harris in. Will Harris did not record an out.
That was your favorite move when Cole was already warming up in the bullpen and they didn't put him in.
Yeah, we'll get into Garrett Cole and the decisions that were made a little later, but yeah, Garrett Cole was warming up in the bullpen for the Astros. Now, A.J. Hinch said that he did not want Cole to pitch unless the Astros had a lead. He wanted Cole to close out the game in the ninth. Why not pitch your best pitcher who is not going to return to you next season? Just run the wheels off of him. I would have put him in there. As soon as Greinke gave up that home run, I would have put him in. Now, I don't really care that it's not a clean inning. There's no one on base. Okay, it is the middle of the inning. I get that. But like, there's no one on. Okay, it's kind of like a clean inning. All you got to do is just get two outs. So that bothered me from that perspective. So he did not even get to pitch. Roberto Osuna ended up coming in, giving up another run. Ryan Pressly had to clean up some of the mess. And then Joe Smith came in, another two runs. Urquidy had to come in and clean up his mess. It was just after that home run from Rendon, there was no looking back from the Nationals.
The wheels fell off for the Astros.
Usually going into the later innings, the game is over. It's 2-0, and it feels like the game is over. I know I thought it was over. I thought the Astros were just going to – I thought they were going to put Cole in and coast. I realized just what I thought was going to happen.
Again, with the Nationals, couldn't count them out. I mean, look at the wild card game. You know, the first game that sort of got things going for them, they were down late in the game. Juan Soto came up with a clutch hit. You know, there was the error out in the outfield, but they built off of it, and they ended up winning that game. And they closed out that game. They sort of just been going ever since.
Yeah, I think A.J. Hinch has made a bunch of great decisions over his managerial career with the Astros. But this was not one of them.
Yeah, when you're in the spotlight of a World Series, those type of mistakes are going to be highlighted and, you know, talked about, and that's definitely one. Not putting Garrett Cole in, I think, was a huge mistake as well. Again, one of the best pitchers in the league. He's going to get paid, so why not put him in?
He pushed all the right buttons against the Dodgers in the World Series in 2017. But when it came down to who do you pitch, they decided to go to Will Harris instead of going to the best pitcher in the game, Garrett Cole.
It's a simple mistake that'll cost you in a game in a championship series.
I look at it as like Bumgarner. Look when Bumgarner went in and destroyed Kansas City in 2014. It was devastating. No one could hit him. That's the way I would have seen Garrett Cole coming in to pitch. And I know he wasn't on, you know, much of rest, but, I mean, come on. He's never going to pitch for you again. Run him as far as you can. Run up the pitch count if you have to. Go out there and let Cole get outs. A World Series win is completely better than, I don't really know if this situation's good to put him in yet. Put him in. It was a one-run game.
Yeah, you go in to win the game.
It's a one-run game, all right? Don't be playing for situational baseball. Put your best pitcher in and let him go out there and pitch. So that is one thing that really bothered me, that decision by A.J. Hinch, but pretty crazy. Like we said, first-time road team has won every game in a seven-game series, any sport, MLB, NBA, NHL. Now, let the offseason begin. Decisions can be made on opt-outs, adding people to the 40-man roster, protect them from Rule 5 draft. Players have to be re-added from the 60-day injured list to the active 40-man roster. So, Nate, let's talk about the first and most prominent name that has opted out. Steven Strasburg opts out of his four-year
World Series MVP.
World Series MVP Steven Strasburg has opted out of his four-year, $100 million deal that was remaining with the Nationals. Do you think he stays? Do you think he goes? Or do you think this is just something that Strasburg decided to do because I'm the World Series MVP, I'm going to get a bunch of money in free agency, whether it's with the Nationals or not?
It's tough because for the Nationals, they have to deal with Strasburg and Rendon. And to sign both is going to come at a huge price tag. So it's whether you want to stick with Strasburg and have him be part of a pitching rotation that's going to be, again, really good, really dominant probably next season, or you stick with a very good, reliable MVP-type candidate during the regular season in Anthony Rendon in the hot corner. That one's tough. I don't know. Strasburg's going to get a lot of money. He's pitched very exceptional throughout his career. I mean, only one time did he record double-digit losses. So this guy's going to get his money, and it's going to be, again, a huge price tag for the Nationals. Not too sure if they're going to re-sign him. He might go elsewhere. I know there was a team, they were saying the Padres might be looking
into
him.
Yeah, everybody in Southern California. You know, he's from the San Diego area, went to San Diego State. The Dodgers are an option, they're saying. Same thing with the Angels. The reports out of Southern California are saying.
I mean, I know the Padres are trying to build their team, so they might throw some money at him and try to land him.
And they don't have starting pitching.
Yeah. Get him there with Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado, and they can have themselves a nice team out there in San Diego. Not World Series competing, but maybe a wild card contention team.
Strasburg had a very unusual contract, at least in my eyes. He had a $10 million signing bonus when he signed it. It was 7 years, $175 million. In 2016, the first year, he made $10.4 million. 2017, 18, it was $15 million base salaries. This year, $35 million. It spiked $20 million to $35 this year. That was his base salary. But over the course of the next 4 years, $25 million in 2020, and then $15 million in 2021 and 2022, is age 32 in 33 seasons. And then in 2023, set to make $45 million at the very end of the deal. Basically stacked a bunch of money at the end where a bunch of their money comes off the books where they thought maybe they'll sign Harper, and Max Scherzer's deal will be up around that time too. So interesting that Strasburg opted out of that. Makes sense. $25 million base salary, then two 15s. I know you got the 45 at the end, but the structure of the deal, it makes sense as to why Strasburg opted out, maybe to – you know, try to get more money now, more base salary now.
He's hitting into his prime, you know, hitting into the 30s. I mean, he's pitched, again, great throughout his career for the most part. Obviously not championship caliber until this year,
Yeah, whenever he was healthy.
Yeah, winning the World Series. So, yeah, he's looking for the money, and why not? So
it makes sense. But another name that you mentioned, Anthony Rendon, also available in free agency. Where do you think he will land, and what do you think he can get? That's going to be a very interesting question. I think Rendon is probably – I think the Nationals throw the money at Rendon before they throw it at Strasburg.
Yeah, I think they would try to land him. I think he's another guy that's probably going to stay with the Nationals for a long time, like Zimmerman. And they would probably prefer to go after him than Strasburg just because, you know – if they have the guys like Corbin and Scherzer, you know, pitching as they did this season, and, you know, younger guys coming up, you don't know. Pitching is such a weird position. You don't know who's going to come up. But when you have a guy who's a for sure, you know, MVP-type talent at third base, one of the best third basemen in the league, you should do the most to keep him.
Yeah, Rendon loves D.C. I know they've the Nationals have offered him a deal north of $200 million. And then I do also know that Rendon has made two counter offers trying to find a common ground with the Nationals. So he really likes D.C. His goal is to stay there. Would he leave for a bigger amount of money? Yeah, I'm sure he would. But I think the Nats get a deal done with him. I think that unlike Harper, both sides really have the will to find a common ground and find a way to work out a deal to keep the player in D.C. and make both sides pretty happy.
Yeah, and just in sports in general, just the idea of players leaving a team that just won a championship is just so interesting to me. Because why not stay? Yeah, I know you're trying to chase the money, but if you're getting a decent contract, that you're getting the money you probably want just around that area, why not stay with a team that's going to be competing again? Why would you go to a team, say Strasburg goes to the Padres, why would you go to a team, I mean, yeah, I know it's a different situation, but why go to a team such as the Padres that might not be able to compete as much as the Nationals did? It just, I think it confuses me at times, but I think Rendon will work out the deal with the Nationals. It's a good sign that he's trying to negotiate with them, and it shows that they will probably eventually hit a middle ground and, you know, sign the deal.
It's like Kawhi. Kawhi left Toronto Raptors, even though they won the NBA championship.
It just confuses me at times why. But, I mean, Kawhi, that's a different story because he went to a good team. Going to be competing.
But he made it a good team. Getting Paul George, too. It made a good team great. But he went home, and same thing with Strasburg. It'd be like going home. And if you went to the San Diego Padres or anywhere in this, you know, just Southern California area. So that's interesting to watch. Some more baseball free agents. Let's throw out some names here. JD Martinez has an option. He could be a free agent. Josh Donaldson of the Atlanta Braves, third baseman, 34, former MVP, will be a free agent.
That'll be an interesting sign, just with how he's been sort of throughout the past couple years, where he was a great third baseman, dominant, and then, you know, he fell off a little bit, and then he picked it back up with the Braves.
Yeah, struggled in his half season with Cleveland. And
it'll be interesting
Toronto.
To see what type of money he gets, because I know he had a pretty good season this year, so.
Yeah, he did have a really good year.
But how reliable is he is the question.
His salary this year was $23 million. Now, I don't think it's going to be that much. Maybe around $17-18 million. Maybe three-year deal for him. Cole Hamels is 36. He's a free agent with the Cubs off of a year where he made $20 million. As my dad is now calling the show. Should we answer the phone and have my dad talk on the show?
Sure.
That's okay. He's probably going to say, hey, listening to the baseball show, and you should say this. But
no,
we'll see.
I don't think he would have said that.
See what he texts me and says. Back to the baseball. Felix Hernandez, he's a free agent. Former Seattle Mariners ace, 34 years old, $27 million salary. So, not too bad.
He's going to definitely leave Seattle. They did the whole big hoorah with him in his last game, you know, Kings Court up there in Seattle. But I think he's definitely moving on because Seattle is just not in. Right now, every year they seem like they have a decent team they put on the field, but they just can't get it done. They can never compete and be legitimate contenders.
No, they really can't. And I think,
I mean, but they are, you know, in the division with the Astros, so that's tough always. And then the Athletics. So there's two teams right there in a division that makes it so tough for the Mariners to compete.
Yeah, I look at King Felix, and I think in general I think he's done. I think he's probably going to have to retire. His stuff just isn't that good anymore. And I think his big hurrah probably sends him off, 34 years old. Probably will retire. Good career for Felix Hernandez. The King up in Seattle may have thrown his final pitch. So we mentioned Strasburg, some other guys, Dallas Keuchel with Atlanta. Very interesting guy, signed late in free agency, wasn't very good at all. Rick Porcello, Edwin Encarnacion had his option declined by the Yankees. He's 37, but still hitting home runs.
Yeah, that's a gamble to take for any team, because he's not very reliable defensively. But I guess he can hit the long ball every once in a while. So be interesting to see where he goes as well. Maybe a team like the Pirates will pick him up.
Oh, nah.
If they really want the long ball so bad, I guess they might try to throw some money at him.
Well, they could pick him up for cheap, but the problem is Pirates don't have a DH, which that hopefully will be a problem solved in the near future with the National League DH, but that's something for another time. We mentioned Anthony Rendon, who made a base salary of $18.8 million. Alex Gordon, Kansas City Royals, he had his option declined. He's 36. They're going to try to bring him back at a lower salary. $20 million is just a lot for Alex Gordon, who's been declining.
He's one of the only guys left from that World Series team, you know, with the Royals. So he's a guy they probably want to try to keep. So
yeah, Hyunjin Ryu from the Dodgers. He accepted the qualifying offer last year of just a little low of $18 million, $17.9 million being exact. Market value, according to SpotTrack, for him is going to be about $27 million, north of $27 million. Could win the Cy Young this year. Hyunjin Ryu was absolutely incredible in the National League. Ryan Zimmerman's a free agent. He made $18 million this year.
I think
35 years old.
I think he'll take a lower contract and probably stay with the Nationals.
He could retire.
Either do that or run out his career with the Nats or retire.
I wouldn't be surprised if Ryan Zimmerman retires. Just
go out on a high note.
You know, first Nationals draft pick. I think he really could go out.
Been there for a long time. He's endured a lot of pain there.
And I think they'll eventually bring him back as a coach if he's willing. Russell Martin's a free agent. We all know about Russell Martin. He made $20 million this year. He's 37, though.
Yeah. And a catcher with old age.
He was limited with the Dodgers this season.
Yeah, it doesn't mix too well, especially with their injuries and stuff like that.
Another older player for the Dodgers. Rich Hill is 40. I cannot believe Rich Hill is actually 40. That's a lot older than I thought. He's a free agent. $18 million deal this season. He's been solid, you know. He's really gotten better with age. Great story with him. Jose Abreu is a free agent, DH in the Chicago White Sox. That's going to be an interesting guy to watch where he's going to go. Yeah. DH, first baseman.
And then White Sox, you know, when I was looking at the Gold Glovers, who won the Gold Gloves this year, Yoimer Sanchez for the White Sox at second base in the AL. Thinking of the White Sox, they're so irrelevant.
Really?
Exactly. The White Sox are irrelevant. The Tigers, pretty irrelevant. I guarantee the Pirates, to most people, are very irrelevant. Just the crazy – here's some of the names that come out of the team, like the White Sox. And it's like, who are these guys? Just because the team is just – for years has just not been good.
Right.
And it just makes me think about what other fan bases think about the Pirates, because Pirates are turning into that irrelevant team once again as they were for 20-plus years.
Ugh. I think that's the only way to talk about the Pirates, but – we'll get to the Pirates. We'll get there soon. Well, let's keep talking about some free agents. Ben Zobrist, Chicago Cubs, the free agent. He's 39. He's
utility guy. I mean,
good chance he's going to retire. Yeah. Garrett Cole, we mentioned him earlier. Martin Prado of Miami is a free agent. I think everybody's kind of forgotten about him.
Yeah, he's an ag guy. He was with the Diamondbacks, now with Miami. He was with Miami much longer than I thought.
Yeah.
He was with them for, 3 to 4 years, I think, at this point.
I think longer. He was there when Stanton and all of them were there.
Yeah, that was only, 4 years ago they started shipping off.
Seems
three, 4 years ago. Yeah. That team had a lot of names.
Yes.
Unreal.
Stanton, Yelich, Realmuto, Osuna, who would have, you know, if Jose Fernandez did not die in a tragic accident, who knows what would have happened with the Miami Marlins. Mark Trumbo, the DH in Baltimore, is a free agent. Another interesting outfield/DH type of guy. The problem is there's guys available that the Pirates can buy low on. It's just, where are you going to play them?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I look at the Twins as the, you know, the team that did this. CJ Krohn was DFA'd from Tampa Bay. He hit 17 home runs the year before. Jonathan Scope from Baltimore, he ended up hitting a lot of home runs with Minnesota. They signed Nelson Cruz.
I mean, looking for the Pirates, they went after Melky Cabrera. Look at the year he ended up having. Not a bad year. I mean, by the end of the season, he sort of, you know, fell off, and was at least quiet, fell under the radar. But low-key had a pretty decent year, and the Pirates went after him. And with his age, he continued to, you know, perform at a surprising level, I think.
I think it's been interesting. All right, let's keep going. Rival St. Louis Cardinals, Marcell Ozuna, the left fielder, is a free agent. I was never really high on Marcell Ozuna. Now, he did hit pretty well this year. I don't know how. I think he won a gold glove. Didn't he win a gold glove a couple years ago?
Yeah.
How did that guy win a gold glove?
Not too sure. He's one of those guys that you stick him in the outfield, but he's not for defensive purposes.
No.
His speed's okay, but he's not fast as a typical outfielder, but I don't know. He's there for hitting purposes, so.
Brandon Morrow is a free agent, the Cubs closer, who, you know, really was hurt a lot. Converted starter to a closer. You know, okay. Not that great, but okay. Tanner Roark, who was traded from the Reds over to Oakland after being with the Nationals last season. Mike Moustakas is a free agent from Milwaukee. His value just continues to go up. Nick Castellanos being traded over from Detroit to the Cubs really boosted his value going down the pennant race. Yasiel Puig's a free agent. Alex Wood's a free agent, part of that big deal with the Dodgers and the Reds.
Yasiel Puig, we'll see where he lands. He's had an interesting career, to say the least.
Yeah, I think interesting is one way to put it. He was going.
Dodgers were done handling, you know, his antics and his subpar play at the end of his career with the Dodgers. Just decided to move him on.
Jake Odorizzi's a free agent in Minnesota. He had a nice year helping the Twins get to the playoffs, 100 games. Trevor Cahill with the Angels, Tommy Hunter with Philadelphia. And now here's two second basemen that if I'm the Pirates, I go after them. Because they can hit for power, and they're bounce-back candidates. Brian Dozier of the Washington Nationals and Jason Kipnis of the Cleveland Indians. Now, Kipnis, you know, he's bounced around a little bit. He's been hurt. His offensive production has been limited. But I think, you know, both 33, I think Dozier, I think Kipnis, one of the two could come in here at second base, you know, help anchor Cole Tucker, Kevin Newman. I still don't believe in Adam Frazier. Now, let's talk Adam Frazier. How did Adam Frazier was a finalist for a gold glove. Okay, I did not watch many games down the stretch in August and September. But I'm sure the play of Adam Frazier just kept continuing to get worse, like the whole entire team. How in the hell did Adam Frazier get nominated for a gold glove?
I don't know. I just don't know. He's short. He's not extremely quick. He's not honestly your typical second baseman.
Well, I remember everybody was saying we had to put Adam Frazier at second base because we want him to focus on getting better defensively. That means he wasn't good defensively at second base. We need him to get more reps there so he gets better.
Yeah, they just wanted to throw him in because they thought he was something special, and honestly,
He's just a bench bat, Maya. He's just a bench bat. No. Cole Calhoun is an option with the Angels. Probably going to become a free agent. He's an interesting guy in the outfield. Pirates might be able to bring in as a fourth outfielder. Yvon Nova, old friend from the Chicago White Sox now. 33 years old.
We're not going to have Searidge anymore to work with these veteran pitchers.
He's one of the only guys that actually worked with Searidge, at least down the stretch. Starlin Castro, second baseman from the Miami Marlins, only 30. Starlin Castro has been around for like 100 years, and he's only 30 years old.
I know. He was so weird what happened ended up happening with him. He was not bad with the Cubs. And then what? He went to the Yankees and fell into oblivion. And then they shipped him off to Miami.
Shipped him to Miami.
To die. And,
basically.
And Miami.
All right. Let's look at some other old friends. Juan Nicasio and Corey Dickerson.
Corey Dickerson.
Both in Philadelphia. Juan Nicasio made $9 million this year.
We'll see what ends up happening with Dickerson because, you know, injured for the most part, what, last season, right?
Yeah, he was injured a while with us and then shipped him off to Philadelphia. And, you know, he was pretty good.
Yeah, Goldberg was talking about him. He had an okay stint with them.
Didn't make the playoffs. Todd Frazier, an interesting option from at third base, former Met. Jason Castro behind the plate with Minnesota. Kyle Gibson, one of their starters. Pat Neshek, 39-year-old relief pitcher with Philadelphia. There's a lot of relievers. I'm not really sure how many guys, you know, just is out there to target, though.
What's expected in the free agency, you know, market is a lot of old guys. It's expected, and I don't know, not a lot of names that I would inquire on if I was the Pirates, but also the only names that are relatively significant are the guys that are going to need a lot of money, like Cole and Strasburg and Rendon, so there's no way the Pirates would try to land them either.
Right, here's more. Andrew Cashner, Jason Vargas have options. They'll be bought out. CeCe Sabathia is going to retire. Darren O'Day, Joe Smith, two older 36, 37-year-old right-handers you know, who have, you know, a lot of, they have some upside. You can, you know, put them out there in high leverage situation and can't count on them. Brett Gardner, 36 years old with the Yankees. He will probably return because you don't know what's going to happen with that Yankee outfield. With Aaron Hicks out for a while, you know, I think he's definitely a candidate to return. Now, here's one guy that I targeted earlier, Jonathan Scope. He's only 28. Great move by Minnesota to pick him up when he was 27, 28 years old. Come in and absolutely crush the ball for the Minnesota Twins. And I'm still a relatively young guy. He was DFA'd by Baltimore. Crazy to think with the numbers that he was putting up. Wellington Castillo is a free agent. Dylan Betances is a free agent with the Yankees. That's another interesting arm. And now here is the playoff beast himself. Madison Bumgarner hits free agency for the first time. San Francisco Giants left-handed pitcher. What do you think? We haven't heard much about Bumgarner yet. Where do you think Bumgarner could land? Do you think he stays? Do you think he goes? I don't.
For some reason, I don't feel like he'll stay. I feel like he's going to end up leaving the Bay Area. I don't know where he'll land. It'll be interesting to see where he ends up going. Maybe, I mean, always a team that's going to inquire on big-time pitchers is the Yankees.
Yeah, that's the one team I could see.
Yeah, them. Obviously, they're going to probably try to go after Gerrit Cole with the money they have, and they're going to try to throw at people.
Being a former Yankee.
Those two. Bumgarner, I don't know. He's winding down in his career, but he's still pitching at a relatively okay pace. So,
yeah,
we'll see how what goes down between him. I don't know. Probably, I would say Yankees would be the front runner in my mind, just because again they have the hitting, they have the batting lineup, but they need pitchers. I think starting pitching is a big thing that you need to fill. Obviously, CC Sabathia is going to be leaving. I think they need guys to fill around Tanaka and Severino. And I think Bumgarner with experience, and you know, if he goes to New York, maybe he'll regain his footing as a starting pitcher, and you know, maybe have another good year or two and help them win a championship in the Bronx. So.
Yeah, I think Bumgarner stays. I just don't see how he leaves that organization. They didn't trade him. I think that was for a reason. I think they were, you know, basically sure they're trusting him. I think they keep him. That's just my opinion. I think he stays, and they try to build the next team with him if possible. All right, some other guys. Liriano is a free agent. Edison Volquez, Melky Cabrera, you know, some former Pirates right there. Maybe some will resign. Maybe some will stay. Hey, Lonnie Chisenhall's a free agent. Remember Lonnie Chisenhall?
Yeah, 0 games with the Pirates.
Oh, that was fun. Jake Diekman is a free agent from Oakland. I've looked at him for years as a lefty of the bullpen. The Pirates should try to pick up. Brock Holt, a free agent from Boston.
Interesting. Former Pirate.
Will Harris is a free agent from Houston. Probably not a good time to go in as a free agent. See, after your market absolutely plummets from the World Series Game 7. Chris Archer. Big news out of Pirates camp. Chris Archer, Starling Marte's options were picked up by the team with no general manager and no manager. The options were picked up. Nate, let's move to the Pirates now. What are your thoughts on those options being picked up? Do you like them? Would you have done the same? And what comes next for the team?
I think, yes, pick up Marte for sure. Archer's such a interesting fine line between him and just where he's at in his career right now and what the Pirates have seen out of him. It's tough to say. I don't know. Yeah. It's not a bad move to pick up Archer's option. I think Marte, though, picking up his, I think the Pirates have the potential to trade him. They could get a lot of assets from him. Or do you keep him and just continue to build this team that they sort of have, at least hitting-wise, going, continue to build around him? So I don't think it's a bad move. I think they do need to go out in the free agent market, which probably won't happen unless they get a general manager that actually wants to go and sign some players, and actually they get the money to sign the players. So
there's a bunch of money to spend. Will they spend it? That's the thing. I think Travis Williams will be more forceful with the money to, you know, force Bob Nutting, you know,
yeah,
who, spend, let's go.
Yeah. I think his mindset is to win, and he knows probably that you have to spend the money to win, especially in baseball, so, or at least compete.
You would think that, you know, eventually they'd make a move. Sign somebody. Do something, you know? I don't I don't know. I worry about it now, but I think with new management coming in, who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? Like you said, hopefully they're more forceful with, you know, making moves and actually spending the money that they have.
Okay, so let's look at right now the Pirates. I think today it is. They have to activate their players from the 60-day IL and put them on the active roster. They have to make room for 8. The list includes Chris Archer, Nick Birdie, Kyle Crick, Chad Kuhl and Edgar Santana coming back from Tommy John surgery, Jason Martin, Gregory Polanco, and Jameson Taillon, who is out with Tommy John surgery. They still have to activate him. And eventually, they're going to have to add some guys from the Rule 5 draft. But before that is the non-tender deadline. Non-tender deadline is December 2nd. What does that mean? That means that they can basically cut some of their guys that are arbitration eligible. Some options, Eric Gonzalez, still don't think they'll cut him. Elias Diaz, don't think they'll get rid of him either. And then Keone Kella, Taillon, Bell, Adam Frazier, Trevor Williams, Joe Musgrove, Chad Kuhl, Michael Feliz, all guys that are arbitration eligible with the team. I think that they all stay. I think Eric Gonzalez is the only option that could go.
Yeah, I was going to say, you think Eric Gonzalez can stay? I don't know. I would probably get rid of him. Bring up Tucker and let him and Newman maybe.
I agree. I don't like having Eric Gonzalez on this team. I don't know what a new GM is going to think, but I think try to put him through waivers. I don't think anybody's going to claim him. Honestly, I don't know.
No. I mean,
it is the off season, so I'm sure somebody will take a flyer on him right now to just hold him on the 40.
I mean, at shortstop, you have Tucker and Newman. Both those guys, at least, I mean, Newman for now, he was able to hit and he was able to play fine defense. Tucker can obviously play good defense. He needs to find his stride when it comes to batting. But Eric Gonzalez, yeah, he was okay. He's okay defensively. Supposed to be, you know, really good defensively when he came in, but first couple weeks he played before he got injured did not look so good. And then the hitting was just not there for him. He couldn't bat. So I'd rather rely on the young guys and let Gonzalez go.
Yeah, so they'll also have to protect some guys from the Rule 5 draft. Brian Hayes and O'Neill Cruz are the two big names that have to be protected. Also, Will Craig. And there's other options like Blake Cederlin, Cody Ponce, who they got from the Milwaukee Brewers. Outfielder Lolo Sanchez is an option. You know, but he's only 20 years old, and he's still in Bradenton. So Cruz and Hayes obviously will be added. Will Craig as well. Blake Cederlin, a guy that I really like out of the bullpen, who's now with Indianapolis, who throws upward of 100. Gets a lot of strikeouts. So the Rule 5 draft protection deadline is November 20th.
Okay,
let's burn it. So November 20th is that deadline. So what other positions could the Pirates look to add? I think catcher, obviously.
That's the main, I think, a main priority. You're just going to stick with another year of Stallings and Diaz. Goldberg.
There's Goldberg. He's shaking his head as he walks by. We asked Goldberg to be on the show today. And Goldberg said he had to write a paper. Goldberg is currently walking by the radio room, not writing
his
paper.
He was too busy crying about Bryce Harper and the money they gave him not making the postseason.
Probably. Poor Goldberg. But Goldberg claims that they have a bunch of money to spend in free agency. Poor Goldberg. All right, let's see what's going on here.
You want to touch on the gold gloves that were just announced?
Yeah, let's talk some gold gloves.
So, you want me to go down the list, run down the list?
Yeah, let's give them to me.
So, AL, we'll start in the AL. Or do you want me to do AL, NL, first base, second base?
Go whatever way you want.
All right, we'll do first base first. In the American League, it was Matt Olson from the Athletics.
He's been really good defensively for the A's.
And National League, Anthony Rizzo for the Cubs.
Okay.
I think Rizzo is a little bit more of a surprise, but I mean,
Paul Goldschmidt usually always wins at first base.
Yeah, other than that, of those two, I mean, who else really? Josh Bell? Come on. So, no one, not a super surprise there. And then I was at second base, as I was talking before, in the American League, Yoimer Sanchez for the White Sox, Colton Wong for the Cardinals for the National
There's
League.
No one at second base.
Colton Wong, expected. Again, Cardinals are a great defensive team, typically, obviously not really present in the postseason. So, Colton Wong
has just been so back and forth in terms of his production, though. Yeah. It's kind of odd to me that he wins a gold glove, but.
Shortstop, up next, AL, Francisco Lindor.
Not surprising.
NL, Nick Ahmed for the D-backs.
Kind of surprising, but he's been great defensively. I think he's won a couple gold gloves before. Just a guy that you don't really hear about because he plays in Arizona and he really doesn't hit that much and he's not really a talkative guy. But Nick Allmendi has been deserved.
Yep, those two guys, not 100% surprising. Third base, I think this is one of the easiest sort of to pick, except maybe in the National League.
Nolan.
American League, Matt Chapman. National League, Nolan Arenado.
Nolan wins every year.
Yeah, those two of the best defensive third basemen. And then Nolan or Anthony Rendon, you can throw in there.
Brian Hayes. Ryan Hayes is taking the gold all the way.
We'll see in 2-3 years what he does.
Ryan Hayes.
But Matt Chapman, Nolan Arenado continue to tear up the hot corner for their teams.
Every year it seems like those guys are going to run away with the gold glove until Ryan Hayes comes in and takes it away. Best defensive prospect in the game.
Heading out to the outfield, left field for the American League, Alex Gordon.
Brian Reynolds.
And David Peralta for the D-backs.
How about Alex Gordon winning a gold glove?
Yeah.
How about that? An older guy with Kansas City everybody's kind of forgotten about.
He still makes plays.
Yeah, he still makes plays. He's been a lot slower, but yeah, he's still out there making plays. David Peralta, too. That's two Arizona Diamondbacks.
And center field, not surprising in the American League, Kevin Kiermaier for the Tampa Bay Rays.
Every year.
He's unreal out there. He makes a lot of plays. He's quick, gets the ball. And then in the National League, you have Lorenzo Cain out of Milwaukee. That was a little bit of a surprise to me.
I think it's well-deserved. Lil Kane has been playing great defense ever since he's gotten to Milwaukee. He played pretty good defense in Kansas City, too. I think, he gets his gold
ball. He's just a name, though, that still seems to fly under the radar, I feel like, for me. He doesn't stand. I mean, yeah, he makes the plays, but running up to him was Victor Robles and Harrison Bader, younger guys.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I guess Lorenzo Cain
deserved it.
Not Marte, though. Right field in the American League, Mookie Betts, and then in the National League, Cody Bellinger.
Not Melky Cabrera.
Okay.
Cody Bellinger, pretty crazy. He won in right field. He played a bunch of center field and first base. Kind of surprised he had enough innings defensively in right field to qualify, but I guess they did have A.J. Pollock out in center a lot, too, whenever he was healthy. So
at catcher for the American League, Roberto Perez for the Indians. And
really?
The National League, this is a little bit surprising to me, JT Realmuto over someone like Yadi Molina.
JT Realmuto, he's been the type of guy that defensively is really, with Yadi starting to decline, he's the next guy that's going to win a bunch of gold gloves. He's just the next guy.
And then at pitching, which I don't know.
Who are the pitchers?
Gold gloves. Mike Leake, which
he wins a lot.
He's won a couple before. And also another guy who wins a lot that didn't even finish his season with the National League, Zach Greinke with the Diamondbacks, won the gold glove at pitcher.
Wow.
How about that?
He's a really good defensive pitcher. He's really good at fielding his position off the mound.
He wins it while getting traded to the Astros and competing in the World Series. How about that?
Congratulations, Zach Greinke. You lost the World Series. All right, let's go to today in baseball history. Well, even though the World Series ended on, what was it?
Wednesday.
There has been, history in MLB that has gone seven games that have gone into November. What is one memorable one? Let's go back to 2001. For the first time since 85 at that point, two 20-game winners started Game 7 of the World Series. Yankees against Arizona. Roger Clemens against Curt Schilling. What a matchup right there. So in Game 7 of the Fall Classic, Arizona rallied from two down in the bottom of the ninth to defeat the unbeatable Mariano Rivera 3-2.
In Arizona, correct?
Yep. That was Craig Council. I believe that was the Chicken Runs at Midnight game. Game ended at midnight. Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling were named co-MVP of the World Series. There you have it. Arizona Diamondbacks slaying Goliath.
Wow.
Taking down the Yankees and the mighty Mariano Rivera at home.
November baseball. Isn't that something?
November baseball. So that's this day in Pirates history.
And Pirates.
Not Pirates.
Baseball.
That's the same baseball history. Pirates history.
Pirates doesn't have any November history.
I don't know. Yeah, there hasn't been any November history for the Pirates with all the World Series
games.
Not much
October history recently either.
No, there really hasn't been.
Oh, those good old times back in 2013.
Pretty upsetting. All right, Nate, what do you want to talk about now?
I don't know. What else is there to talk about? You can talk about Carlos Beltran gets hired for the Mets.
Oh, yeah, Carlos Beltran to the Mets. I know we'll talk about that a little bit more. We're going to try to bring Tyler Gallo on eventually, talk about the Mets, big Mets guy.
That'll be fun.
His idea with Beltran. We'll get Goldberg on about the Phillies. We'll basically be just talking about the NL East, I guess. Maybe bring them on for our team-by-team breakdown, as we'll be doing for the offseason in MLB. But
Goldberg will tell us that the Phillies are going to win the World Series next year.
Yeah, because they're going to sign Garrett Cole.
As Philadelphia fans believe every one of their teams are superior than any other teams and that they're going to win championships every year.
They're going to sign Garrett Cole, Madison Bumgarner, and Anthony Rendon, and they're going to go off and win. All right, Nate, I got one segment left. I got the what-if segment. So I'll ask you, what if Rendon stays with the Nationals? Do you think that limits them when signing Strasburg?
Yeah, I think Rendon, if he stays, Strasburg, you're going to see most likely than not him not sign. I feel like Rendon's their guy. I feel like they're going to rely on him. I think he's going to potentially have another MVP type year next year, maybe even win the National League MVP. So I think you stick with Rendon. If you go between Rendon and Strasburg, Rendon.
Yeah, I agree with that. What if Garrett Cole leaves, which is basically not a what-if situation. It's not a what-if situation. It's basically a when, you know. It's basically going to happen regardless.
What if Garrett Cole leaves? I don't think it affects the Astros as much as, you know, other teams would, because just they have the team to continue to compete and be World Series contenders, at least AL Championship Series contenders. You know, it'll be interesting to see where Cole ends up landing, whether that's in the Bronx or whoever else is going to end up throwing money at him. So we'll see how that ends up shaking out for Garrett Cole. I don't think the Astros are affected too much from it. So
Justin Verlander is still going to be with the Houston Astros. He signed an extension, I believe, with them. Verlander is still going to be there for 2020 and 2021 with average base salaries of 33 with 33.
Knowing the Astros, Cole will leave, but then they'll sign someone like Jake Odorizzi for, you know,
they'll sign someone decent,
much less than Cole is going to want, and they're going to end up being a good pitcher there. Not maybe like superstar caliber, but they're going to be a very strong pitcher, reliable guy that's going to make the rotation once again a very competitive rotation.
Maybe they'll sign Ivan Nova and trade for Cal Crick.
Maybe they'll trade for Chris Archer.
Yeah. Why don't worry. They'll make Chris Archer a 20-game winner and be Cy Young voting.
I'm sure.
Oh, God. Last one. What if the Pirates bring in some... Oh, Hedrick is here asking if we'll be at the meeting tonight. Yeah, Hedrick, we'll be there at the meeting. The annual sports meeting. Very nice of Nick Hedrick to ask. That's probably trying to throw some writing assignments on us that
it's 'cause
didn't we love to do.
Didn't we missed the last one.
We did
that's
miss
why,
the last
that's
meeting.
That's why he was asking.
Nate, pretty crazy. Last week, there's a week ago today, was the Moon volleyball game. A week ago today, it seems like a year ago. Seems like a month. Seems like so long ago.
That's not baseball related.
No, that's our personal life related, but yeah. So what if the Pirates bring in someone that you like in terms of manager? What if they bring in... I want Joe Espada. I think we all know that.
Yeah, Joe Espada, I think, would be a very good guy to land.
He's a finalist for the job with the San Francisco Giants. Espada, Dave Kapler. I know there's a couple other names involved. I hope they go with Kapler because I want Espada to come to the Pirates. Will it happen? Maybe.
The only thing is, I've talked about this with my father about... coaching in sports, which coach has the biggest impact on a team? Yeah, you bring in a guy. In baseball, I don't think they have much of an impact. You bring in a guy, except for, you know, some game in-game decisions, but like prior to the game, after the game. I mean, what do they talk about in the locker room? But if you bring in a guy like Joe Espada, does that spark the fan base?
I think so.
I mean, yeah, but like, yeah, I mean, I guess Clint Hurdle did that a little bit when he was brought in. You know, people were like, a new face. This guy's going to lead us to the promised land. And, I mean, he got halfway there. So, hopefully Joe Espada takes this, or someone, whether it's Joe Espada or Jeff Banister, for heaven's sakes. I don't know. I don't know if I would want him in here. I don't know if I want a familiar face for the team. I'd want a new face.
I think they had to just clear house, clear everyone out, and, you know, do
They've
whatever.
They've gotten most of the way there, so stick with that, you know, plan and continue.
All right, so let's do a couple predictions. Do you think the Pirates tender everybody? You think everybody stays?
Yeah, I think everybody's going to end up staying. I think they're going to stick with most of the people they have and then maybe go pick up a guy or two out in free agency to, you know, fill in, you know, where need be. Maybe they'll end up going out and get a catcher to, you know, balance out Diaz. We'll see. So they keep most everybody and they go out and pick up a guy or two, hopefully.
Yeah, I agree.
Whether it's a big name or not. And the one guy that I honestly would like, I mentioned before, was Jake Odorizzi. Why not try to go after him? I mean, he was 15-7 this year, 3.51 ERA, led the Twins, helped the Twins make the playoffs. Why not try to go after him, get a reliable guy in your rotation, you know, maybe balance some things out.
Agreed. So John Heyman and John Morosi, both with reports, Heyman's being 2 days ago, Morosi's being just 2 hours ago. Basically reiterated the same exact thing. San Francisco's managerial search is down to three with Joe Espada, Gabe Kapler, and Pedro Grifol. I don't know who
Pedro
that
Martinez.
Is. Pedro Grifol, who I don't know who that is, but I'm sure if he becomes the manager, we will learn a lot about him. Nate, you have a prediction to give to me? I usually give the predictions. Do you have any for me?
Let me ask you, where do you think Gerrit Cole will end up?
Because
you haven't talked a whole lot about him, so let's see where you think.
No, I don't think he's returning to Houston. I think it would be a good idea to, but I don't think it's going to happen. I see the Yankees as a very, very likely situation because he's a former Yankee fan. I think, you know, he'd be an option there.
I think
there.
He has the personality to fit with the Yankees.
I agree. But
he's that hardcore type guy that I feel like he would fit in pretty well.
Here's my dark horse. The L.A. Angels. I think, you know, Southern California guy, Gerrit Cole.
They need the pitching.
They need a starting pitcher.
They need an ace. They're wasting Mike Trout out there.
They're wasting Ohtani.
MVP candidates year after year for Trout, and yet they can't even make the playoffs.
Albert Pujols' deal will be up soon. You got Joe Maddon there. You got Mickey Callaway's the pitching coach.
Time is ticking over there, but they land a big free agent or two. They could be the team to compete more than someone like the Padres, or they could compete more than the Athletics maybe next year.
I would love to see it.
I wouldn't mind seeing either because Angels don't have a grudge for them. No reason to have a grudge for them. And, you know, baseball, they're a team that continues to struggle when they have relatively decent players. And then you have a superstar in Mike Trout who goes out and, you know, makes play after play and, you know, continues to hit for that team. But they don't have anybody else surrounding him to make them a legitimate team out there in the AL West. I mean, but you're dealing with teams like the Astros and the Athletics, and then also a team like the Mariners who are attempting to compete, and the Rangers. Such an interesting division out there, and yeah, I would love to see the Angels maybe go and get someone big. Why not?
Love to see it. Nate, you got anything else?
Who do you – here, this is a two-parter.
All right.
What do you think the Pirates do in free agency in the offseason? Who do you think they get, and how does that impact the team next year, and where do they finish next year? I know we'll probably talk about this more, but yeah. What do you think the record will be next year?
I haven't taken much of a look into it right now, but looking at the team right now, without a GM, without a manager, without any coaches, it's hard to tell. Right now, I think that this team, if there's no changes made, wins 75 games. I think you get Edgar Santana back. I think you get Chad Kuhl back. I don't think Trevor Williams, Jameson Taillon's not going to pitch. Chris Archer, Mitch Keller, I don't think they could be any worse.
Yeah, I would agree because I would say hitting stays the same. Pitching comes up a level a little bit. I think they do a little bit better.
But this is without knowing the GM or the manager. And I think if there's a good GM and a good manager, I think the ceiling's 88 wins. Now, there's no – we got to add a lot to get there.
Yeah. But again, I like discussing the division. I mean, there's not a team that's really dangerous in this division that's going to run away every year. So
Reds will have three good starting pitchers, but do you really buy the Reds?
It's a competitive division.
Milwaukee still has no starting pitching, and they got exposed later on down the stretch, as we saw, and even in the playoffs. The Cubs are a team in I think the Cubs are going to continue to go down with David Ross as manager. I don't think they're going to be any better. And I don't really have much faith in the Cardinals. I did in the playoffs until they faced the Nationals, but I really don't believe in
them. I mean, the Cardinals The Cardinals just broke 90 wins, and though if they lose Ozuna, you know, they lose a bat in that lineup. Yadi Molina's, again, taking another step.
Yadi's old.
Yeah. They're pitching, you know, pitch pretty well, but
Jack Flaherty's good. Andrew Miller's getting older, though.
And you don't know if Adam Wainwright, where he's going to head, what direction he's heading in, if he's going to stay the same or if he's going to decline.
No, you don't really know. But what was your second part? What was the second part of your question?
No, I was just saying, first part was who the Pirates should land in free. Answer the first part. Who do you think they could land?
I want to see Liriano and Melky back. I think they'll only bring one of the two back, though.
I would bring Melky as an insurance bat off the bench.
I'd like to see both back, but I think probably just Melky will be back. Who else?
I don't know. Liriano's tough. He walks too many guys.
They need a lefty. They need a lefty out of the bullpen.
That's true.
But I think the three-batter minimum comes in this year. I believe that's right, where you bring in a pitcher, he has to face three batters.
Wow.
Liriano, you bring him in just to face a couple lefties. Yeah, I don't really know if you want him to face.
That is tough. That's an interesting rule.
Yeah, that. And the roster's expanded to 26. I know we'll dive deep into the rules coming up in a later show, but it basically gives you a spot to put Steven Brault, who they're going to try to convert to a two-way player. At least that's what last management wanted to do. We'll see what happens with them now. But, yeah, interesting Pirates talk. I need to look into who they need to bring in. I think they need to bring in a starter. I think they need to bring in some relief pitching. But I also like what they have in the minors. I just think that you need some coaching for them. Okay, I like our relief guys. I think George Hartley's okay. He's got a fastball. He's got a really good, you know, pitch sequence and some great movement. My concern is, can you get some guys to put it together? And Blake Cederlund, who throws 100, can he be your closer next year if you trade Kiyonakilla? That's just what I come up with, and that's just what I say. So, yeah. How about it?
Yeah.
It's a nice day outside today.
Yeah, we're hitting that time in the show.
Let's take a look at the weather. Well, the show is officially at the 1 o'clock hour. We are done. Currently in Moon, Coriopolis, Robert Morris University, 55 degrees with a low of 42 today. That is your weather.
Thank you. That's usually Josh's job. He was supposed to come on and be the weather boy for our shows.
Josh is not here to do the weather, but, you know, that's it. Remember the Pirates did a promotion? They used to, in the ninth inning, whenever they were down by like 18 runs, they'd play this song and they'd have everybody, all the fans hyped up. Oh, yeah, we're going to come back and score runs.
Now they do hoist the colors. We'll see what this week has in store. Will the Pirates end up landing anybody? We'll see with the general manager search.
Yeah, will anybody be signed? Will any general manager come in? Will any manager come in? Who will stay? Who will go? Who will be added to the 40? There's a lot to talk about, but this is the show number 7. I am Austin Bechtold.
I'm Nathan Bryson.
For the Bryce and Bechtold Baseball Breakdown, I did not say Baldwin and the Berg this time.
Good.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.